lot of times we don't realize in our life that the same God who allows the storms of our life to take place is the same God that says to those waves, be still. And they listen. Amen. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the different names of God. We've been hearing about God as the creator, Elohim. We've been hearing about God who's relational, Adonai, Jehovah, Yahweh. We've been hearing about now what type of relationship he has with his creation, which is Adonai, Lord and Master. And from this point forward in the Bible, all the different names that you're going to hear of the name of God is either Jehovah, God who does something, or El, God who, something like El Roy, God who sees. Jehovah Sikkenu, the Lord our righteousness. This morning, we're going to be learning about a name of God called Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And as Matt was sharing, the Lord has been there with him through everything that he's been going through. Even in the midst, even when he was at his worst, in the lowest, Christ was right there in the low with him. It says that the heart of the Lord is gentle and low. That is God's heart. And so he was right there with Matt, and he's going to be with Matt and his family as he goes on for the next step in his life. Amen? I think the easiest way to explain about God being here was there was a story of a couple that had two very precocious children. One was 8 and one was 10 years old. And if any trouble took place, if anything was ever missing, those boys were always blamed for it. Well, the parents didn't know what they were going to do. They were at wit's end. They couldn't, control the kids anymore. And they heard that there was a pastor coming into town that dealt with things with a little heavy hand. And, you know, he had the right way of really getting the truth out and disciplining children. And so they figured, you know what, we have nothing else to lose, so we'll bring them to the pastor. So the pastor decided that he wanted to see the kids individually. So one boy went to see him, the 8-year-old, and he sat down there, and the pastor very nicely looked at him and said, Johnny, where is God? And Johnny was completely silent. He didn't know what to say. He didn't have an answer or anything. And then the pastor looked at him again, and a little bit more firmer. He's like, Johnny, where is God? Now Johnny started getting a little bit nervous, and he's like looking around, and he's starting to shake and everything, but he still didn't know what to answer. And then the pastor, in a very, very firm voice, looked at him and said, Johnny, where is God? All of a sudden, this boy jumped up. He ran home. He hid in his closet. His brother came in the closet with him and said, what's the matter? What happened? And he goes, we are in big trouble. God is missing, and they think that we had something to do with it. The question, where is God? Have you ever gone through such a trial? Something in your life, something in a life of someone close to you, something past or present that has happened to you, that you say, God, where are you? I mean, it's something that if we're really truthful and honest, we all go through. I wanted to open up in God's word in Exodus 2, 23 through 25. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Exodus 2, 23 to 25. I don't know if we have it here on the screen.
We don't.
Okay, no worries. Okay. In Exodus 2, 23, in the passing of the time, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry came up to God on account of the bondage. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked on the children of Israel, and God had concern for them. Go with me to the Lord in prayer. God, we just come to you this morning, and Father, if we be honest, there's many, many times in our life that we say, God, where are you? We look and see everything going on in our world, everything going on in our lives, things that have happened in the past. And God, we cry out, where are you? God, forgive us for those times, because as we sang in the song, help us know that you are near. God, you have always been near to us. You will never leave us or forsake us, but it's us who sometimes misses your presence because we don't see in the big picture. God, I pray this morning that you open up our eyes like the servant Elisha, Or God, like the blind man that was healed, and he saw first as people like trees, but then he started to be able to see clearly. God, give us eyes to see clearly so we don't look in the small picture and not understand what you're doing, but God, trust in you and look in the big picture and see the eyes of the Lord are upon us. God, we just commit this time to you now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, as I said, we go through a lot of times in our life, God, where are you? God, where are you when we look and see what's happening in our world? When we hear on the radio or we watch fake news and we hear about everything in our world, did you take your hand off the control button? Where are you, God, when we hear about thousands of people dying all over the world? Where are you when a loved one has cancer and they're going to be dying soon? Where are you, God, when we see the list of people lining up in the divorce courts, that people are taking marriage so lightly, that they're redefining gender, that our kids don't know anymore what true relationship is about? Where are you when we see the immorality and the cancel culture in our nature? God, where are you when we get the test results and it's not what we want to hear? Where are you when there's a child missing, sexual trafficking, kidnapping? Where are you, God, when a child of ours is sick? Is it because I haven't talked to you enough? Is it because I haven't done enough for you? Where are you, God? God is omniscient. He knows all that you're going through and that you have gone through. He's heard every prayer that you prayed. He's seen every tear that you cried over your situation, and he is there. God is omnipresent. When you have felt lost, when you felt all alone as a child, as a husband, as a wife, as a person of a certain race, as a person of a certain belief, as a person that feels like you're all alone, God was and is there with you. God is omnipotent. Any evil that has come your way, any pain that you've endured, knowing that God is there with you will help you go through anything life throws your way. Yes, God is there, and the name that will always give us this confidence, the name that will give us this comfort, give us this intimate sense of feeling safe and we're not alone with God, is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. In the book of the prophet Ezekiel, we're first introduced to this name in Ezekiel 48:35, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of a backdrop. Ezekiel is a prophet, and he is one of the biggest prophets when it comes to visions, besides Daniel. He's given so many different visions. In this vision, what he sees is the presence of God is with his people. And then in Ezekiel 10 through 12, but then in Ezekiel 10:18, God's glory, his presence, departs from the temple. And now the Israelites are in captivity, and they're slaves under in bondage. And he wonders, and the people worry, God, will you ever return to your people? And Ezekiel 48:35, it says, let me read this to you here. In Ezekiel 48:35, he describes, as far as he's given a vision of the measurements of the temple that will be. And then it says, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Now this is seen as a prophetic message that there will be a time that God will be with his people. Not just in the temple, but there with them daily as spoken about in Revelation 21. And the presence of God will be with his people. But even though this is speaking in the new heaven and the new earth, with God there's no timetable. He is outside of space and time. So when it says in Ezekiel that God is there, it means God is there. Where? What does that mean? What does it mean God is there? Wherever God is, which is everywhere, God is there. Now for many of you here this morning, it may seem at times that this has not been the case. The things that you've endured, the pain that you've gone through, the ache in your heart and the tears that you have shed, it did not feel like God was there. For if he was, why would he allow you to go through the things you did as a child? If he was, why would he allow you to go through the pain that you're going through now, the losses that you have? Well, this feeling of being uncommon among the children of God is something that was not, it was not uncommon. And so now for this morning's time together, we're going to look at the book of Exodus. The sermon will be in four parts. God is there in your past. God is there in your present. God is there in your future. And God has always been there. So the first part, God has been there in your past. Exodus 2, 23 to 25. When we go back there, it says that the Israelites cried out to God. God heard the cries of the Israelites while they were in bondage. Now, if God heard their cries, if God hears your cries, why then does God allow us to go through the pain and suffering at times that we've endured? Well, I'm sure many of you are familiar with C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis once famously wrote, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks into our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. The reality is we live in a fallen world. We're surrounded by the effects of the fall. Death, pain, suffering, evil, sexual immorality, addictions, persecution. We were never told that we will be immune to this, although a lot of your evangelical, non-denominational churches that have altar calls, this is what people believe. They believe that I come forward, Jesus loves me, everything that I've gone through is going to be removed. Well, what happens when that doesn't happen? Where's your faith then? Who doesn't want to come forward when you hear that Jesus loves you, he accepts me as I am, and I'm just, you know, accepted in his eyes? But then we think that the trials aren't going to come. We think that the storms of life are going to be over. We think that the cravings for the addictions aren't going to be there anymore. And when that happens, does that mean that God lied? Does that mean that God's not there? No, in Luke 22, 30 through 31 through 34, Jesus says, Simon Peter, Satan is trying to sift you out like wheat. And so what does he say? Does he say, I got your back? Does he say, I'm going to make sure he doesn't do it? Does he say, don't worry about it, I got you covered? No, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you. In other words, it's going to happen. Pain and suffering and struggles will come. But if you know Jesus has got your back, you're going to make it through. Now, church, not only has Jehovah Shammah been there with you in your past pain, but here's the real scary part. He's been there with you in your past and in your present sins. All the BC stuff you did, the before Christ stuff you did, the other life that you had, we all have that, that you did things that you still wish to this day have not been able to, that you haven't been able to forgive yourself for. Jehovah Shammah has seen, and the amazing good news is that he still loves you. And in Romans 5:8, it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. So if Christ knew the worst of what you did, and he hung on the cross and said, it is finished, then why then are we still unwilling to let go of those past sins? Yes, knowing Jehovah Shammah that the Lord is there, even during the times of evil and pain and sin and struggles, brings us comfort. Brings us comfort. Now, God is there in your present. Go with me in Exodus 14, in verse 13, and then we're going to jump to 21 and 22. Exodus 14, verse 13, and then 21 through 22. Exodus 14, verse 13. Hear the word of God. But Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall never see again. The Lord shall fight for you while you hold your peace. And then in 21 and 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land so that the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and unto their left. God hears the cries of his people. He wants to remove from them the bondage that they've been in. And so he instructs Moses on how to do that. The Israelites are now given a choice. And in faith, they step out and listen as they see the seas part and the hand of God present. A choice they had. They could have either stayed, but they would have rather gone and complain afterwards, or they could go. And they chose to go. They had, and we have, free will. Many of us here get asked this question, but what about free will? Do we have a choice to choose God or not? And if not, does that not make us like robots or puppets? Well, the answer to that question is yes. In Ephesians 2:3, listen here, it says that we are in enmity with God. In enmity with God, meaning that we're his enemy. We are children of wrath. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says that everything that we do sola de gloria. We do it for the glory of God. And in Galatians 5:16, it says that I say then to walk in the Spirit. Okay, now let's tackle this free will choosing question. Here's the simple answer. Yes, we have the will to choose, but what we want to changes. See, that's the thing. Our want-tos change. See, before we were in Christ, in Ephesians 2:3, it says that our want-to is to do whatever pleases the flesh. So before we even know anything of God, before our hearts are changed, our want-tos, our free will, our choice is to do what we want to do, because we don't know anything of God. Then in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, then now for us who are in Christ, our hearts have been regenerated. Now our want-tos, our choice is to what? To do everything unto the glory of God. So we went from being in enmity with God. God then changes our heart. We get his grace upon us. And now our want-tos is to do everything that pleases God. Well, then how do we do this practically? In Galatians 5, when we live more in the spirit and less in the flesh, our free will, our want-to, our choice is to do more unto God than ourselves, to do more unto unto the Lord than to man. One way that we can make this a bit easier is to know God by his name, Jehovah Shammah. Why? For in knowing that name, we know then whatever we do in life, good or bad, whatever choice we make, he is there. So how does that apply to us then? Well, when we know that Jehovah Shammah is there, our actions, our words, the things that we do, our thoughts change. I mean, think about it, moms, or for people that have moms, and if your mom was right there with you, would you say the words that you're going to say to your wife? If your mom was standing right there with you, would you have that extra drink knowing the problems that it's going to cause? If your mom was right there with you, would you act the way that you're acting? Would you think the way that you're thinking? Would you watch what you watch on the internet? No. Why? Because you don't want to disappoint your mom. Well, it's even more than that with God. If we recognize that God's presence is there with us, his presence should change everything for us in our lives. God's presence is with us as believers, but different than he was with those in the days in Israel. God's presence is with us now. Once we become born again, Jehovah Shammah is now in us in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. It says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So in everything, God is there. In temptation, Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding good and evil. Proverbs 15:3. In need, when you have a need, Psalm 21:6, for thou hast made me blessed forever. Why? Because thou hast made him exceedingly glad in thy presence. In loneliness, Genesis 16:13, Hagar felt all alone. And she said, "You are the God who sees," which is a new name for God, El Roy. But God saw her pain in sickness and in death. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, the very present there in time of trouble. I was sharing with Stan when we first met one of my favorite movies that really show me the sovereignty of God, that there's nothing that goes on in our life, even the smallest choices, that God's not in control of. It's called The Adjustment Bureau. I don't know if anyone's seen it. There's some things that, you know, I mean, are so-so, but The Adjustment Bureau is an amazing, as a Christian, movie to watch about the sovereignty of God. Basically, what it's about is that there's this group of people, the Adjustment Group, that they've been around throughout all of creation. And there's a book that they have, this blueprint of every person that's ever been created and how their life is supposed to go. And when they make a decision that's different than what's in that blueprint, free will, the blueprint changes. So what happens is Matt Damon, he's the star of it, and he's a senator, and he's growing up to be, they're grooming him to be the next president. And he puts a tie on because he's going to have this speech. And as he's getting on the bus, someone spills coffee on him. So when he gets to get ready before he goes on there, his assistant said, "You can't go on there. You have a stain on your coffee." He goes, "But this is the tie that I picked out." They said, "Well, no, I have another tie for you." See, even the tie that he thought he picked out, there was another tie waiting for him. See, even the smallest decisions that we make, we make what shirt to wear, what you know, person to talk with or anything like that. God, though, still, the adjustment moves, and God's plan still comes through. Even the tie to choose has been decided by them. We as believers have free will to live and do as we choose, but we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, God's grace, and that can never be removed from us. But that does not mean that we have then a license to do whatever we want to, which is called licentious living. When we know God by the name Jehovah Shammah, and we know that our bodies have been bought with the price of the blood of Christ, and it is no longer I, in Galatians 2:20, but he that lives within me, then our choice, our free will, what we want to do is to be more Christ-like. Amen? God is there in your future. After escaping the Egyptians and the walking through the waters, there was many more years of rebellion from God's people. And the thought that he was no longer with them. But then in Ezekiel 48:35, we read that there will come a time that God will forever, day by day, moment by moment, be with his people. The vision that Ezekiel was given for the people of Israel is the same promise that we received once we're brought into the home of our Father, the King of Kings. In John 14:2-3, as Jesus was leaving the disciples, they were getting all worried. He's talking about that he's going to be, you know, he's going to be crucified and he's going to be leaving them. And he says, but don't worry, because I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Even though God was leaving them, as they knew him to be there with them day by day, he still was with them. They just didn't understand that. In Matthew 28:20, it says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of time." And in Hebrews 13:5, it says that never will I leave you nor forsake you. Never. Never, ever, 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 as my boss at work, a friend of mine, says when he wants to get your point across. God says, never, ever, ever will I leave you or forsake you. That's the amazing thing of our God is Jehovah Shammah. He is able to be here now and there at the same time. Where Jesus was talking about and where the prophet Ezekiel is having the vision found is found in Revelation 21:3. Where God is dwelling, where he is, he will be with his people. Now I know for a lot of us, we want to be there now, right? We want to be there now. Come Jesus, come. I mean, I just want to be with you face to face already. It's like enough of this. We want to be in his presence to see Jehovah Shammah and not only know that God is there with us, but actually that we see that he is there with us. But as Paul said, for the sake of the brethren, we are still here. And we're here for two reasons. One is that God has more work to do in your life. If you're still here, if you're a believer, if you have breath in your lungs, God has work for you to do more. And two, so you could be used as a testimony for those who don't know that God is there, Jehovah Shammah, in their lives. That's why we're here. So now, to bring this really all to a completion, God has always been there. In Psalm 139, 7 through 12, and why don't you turn there if you have your Bibles or your phones or things like that. In Psalm 139, 7 through 12, hear the word of God. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell at the end of the sea, even there your hand shall guide me, and your right hand shall take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light shall be as night about me, even the darkness is not dark to you, but the night shines as the day, for the darkness is like light to you. The psalmist writes that there is nowhere that we could go that God is not there. For the people of Israel, he was there in the burning bush. He was there in the parting of the sea. He was there in the fire by night. He was there in the quail and the manna from heaven as they were in the wilderness, and in so many more ways. He and his word promised to never leave them or forsake them, but in their rebellion, their sinful ways, their prideful actions, they felt that he was not there. And I think that there's a lot of us that can relate to that. If God promises never to leave us or forsake us, why at times does it feel like we're alone? If God promises never to leave us or forsake us, why does it feel like he's taken his Holy Spirit from us? God is right there. It's us. It's what's going on in our life. Whether it's conviction, condemnation, whether it's, you know, you feel like God can't forgive you. Know that whatever you're trying to hide from God, you've already seen it. He sees it, and he still says, I love you. But the truth is that Jehovah Shammah was always there. And as we fast track hundreds of years later now, God now decides to not have man wait until they're in the new heaven with him. But for a time, he will make his dwelling among his people. In John 1, 1, 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and then the Word was with God. So you have the Word, and now it's with God. And then it says, and the Word was God. So now you have the Word and God being one and the same. And in Genesis 1, 14, it says, and then the Word, so that's God, made his dwelling among men. Well, when did the Word make his dwelling among men? Well, in Isaiah, hundreds of years before, it says that the virgin shall conceive and give birth, and the child's name will be Emmanuel. And in Matthew 1:23, it says Emmanuel means God with us. Jehovah Shammah, God with us, now living among men. Before the beginning of the world, God has always planned, always desired to be present, to be there with his people in a covenantal relationship. But in Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, it says that we were in enmity with God. We are children of wrath. We are, you know, against God. Man broke covenant with God in the fall in the garden. But God has always desired to keep covenant with man because God wanted us to know that he is always there. So when Christ said from the cross in Matthew 27, 46, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, or my God, why have you forsaken me? God was there. God took all the sins of the world and placed it upon the unblemished Lamb of God so that in his death, all the sins of the world could be forgiven. God was there. He was there for you and for me so that in our belief that Christ died for us, we then can once again know that Jehovah Shammah is here and will one day see God as the God who will be there with us forever. I wanted to read to you a poem that was written, author unknown. It's called Meet Me in the Stairwell. You say you will never forget where you were and when you heard the news on September 11, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, honey, I am not going to make it, but it is okay. I'm ready to go. I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words and as she realized he wasn't coming home that night. I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out for me to help. I had been knocking on the door of her heart for 50 years. Of course I will show you the way home, only believe in me now. I was at the base of the building with the priest, ministering to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend to his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all fours of those planes, in every seat with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Virginia, California, Michigan, and Afghanistan. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all knew me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and flames. Come to me this way. Take my hand. Some chose for the final time to ignore me. I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached out to me? September 11, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you, but for someday your journey will end, and I will be there for you as well. Seek me now while I may be found, that in any moment you know we are ready to go. I will be there with you in the stairwell of your final moments. Love, God. If you know that the Lord is there, everything that you fear in life is low. Because Jehovah Shammah, his presence is high. Knowing the name of God as Jehovah Shammah brings either a smile to our face or a look of fear. A smile. Every tear, every moment of loneliness, every hurt and pain, every disappointment by man, every moment of every day of your life, God is right there with you. And that's reason to smile. A look of fear. God is there. Every word you shouldn't say, every thought you shouldn't have, every act you shouldn't do, all the times you did something that you didn't want anyone to know about, God is there too. But what knowing the name of God brings all of us, whether fear or joy, brings us most is comfort. In Psalm 23, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your rod and your staff is there to comfort me. Because Jehovah Shammah is there. Oh God, what a comfort, what a peace to know that you are always there with us. God, I know that there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that we just don't understand. There's a lot of things that happen to close people of ours that, God, we wish that you would do something different. And when you don't, we say, God, where are you? But Father, you're there. Just like you were with the Israelites, you hear our cries and you're right there in our presence. And in during those times, I pray that you open our eyes like you did of Elisha and that he sees the presence of the Lord is there. God, if there be then one person, as Abraham was saying, God, if there was 50, if there was 40, if there was 10, God, we pray that if there be even one person here this morning or watching online that has gone through life alone, that does not feel your presence has been there with them, that has gone through so much pain, that has been so disappointed by man that they don't trust anyone. I pray, God, that they just reach out their hand right now where they are, and that they feel your presence, and that you grab them, Father, and take them from death to life, and that you renew inside them, Father, a love that they've never felt before. And for us, God, that have been able to just sense your presence in our life, and we sense it every day, that we know, God, you as Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, is there. God, may we never go through those times that we feel that you've taken your spirit from us. May we never lose doubt. May we always see things in the big picture, and may we just trust in you, our Lord, our Adonai. Father, we just thank you so much for loving us and for always being there with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.